On October 9 and 10, we're having a conference here at the Linden United Reformed Church on Christ-centered Christianity. We want to give you an invite here over the radio to plan and mark your calendars to come to this conference. It's on a Friday and Saturday night. The conference begins Friday night at 7 p.m. Dr. W. Robert Godfrey of Westminster Seminary, California, he's the president of that seminary, will be speaking to us about the issue of Christ at the center of the church. That's going to be very important in light of the confusion today on what the design and mandate of Christian ministry is. Today, I suppose we think that the sky is the limit, but we're asking the crucial question, how is the Lord designed and what does he intend his ministry to be in his church? Saturday morning, October 10, 9 a.m., he will speak on Christ at the center of worship. I will speak on Christ at the center of preaching. He will then speak on Christ at the center of salvation, and then we'll have a question and answer period. So this is going to be a very, it's a wonderful conference for you to attend free of charge and a time for spiritual growth. So plan to attend. The website is www.lindenurc.com, or you may give us a call at 360-318-0429. Now, let's turn to the radio program.
Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
In Psalm 3, David comes to us in this flight as he fled from Absalom's son. And it's a series of tragic of events that have struck him in the most unexpected time of life. And he drafts this psalm in the midst of this flight, in the midst of these hardships. And he writes in verse 1, "Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God." That is his cry. He's struggling so deeply because in one day his own family is torn apart. In one day he is being cursed. He's had his throne taken from him, and all the nation of Israel has conspired against him. You can understand this cry. He's struggling so deeply, so intimately, because everything has changed. Everything has unraveled in one moment, and life is not going to be the same as he once knew it. What does this mean for him? Does God love him? Is God really a help to him? How can he be sure? And the pain. His son is going to be killed through this whole ordeal. Absalom, who has stolen away his throne. I believe that we read these sort of things in the Psalms, these Psalms of lament and imprecatory Psalms, and we're a little bit disconnected because a lot of this is war language. Armies are going to search for David to kill him, and it's no small number. He says, "Many are troubling me, many are rising up against me," and it feels disconnected because who really has armies coming after them? But my friends, the reality is that these sort of sudden shifts, sudden changes, sudden dramas, sudden life-changing circumstances can rattle you right to the core of what you believe. Homes disrupt. Families are torn apart. Children can betray you. Your spouse can fall against you. And think of this life. Everything is dog-eat-dog. We're trained to attack one another with the mouth. That's the whole premise of evening news. Everyone is out to bring down the next guy. We live in a cruel, violent world. All of these things are painful, but nothing is more painful than to have it suggested that God has abandoned you. That is where David is. That is what has happened. The great King David, he's been cursed and his past is before him. David wasn't always the most model man. His sin with Bathsheba and his sin with Uriah the Hittite and killing him with the sword. He's probably struggling right now. Does all of this indicate God's presence and blessing has left me? What is more terrible than the scene presented to you? I wonder how much this affected David, because in the midst of this, it's interesting. In 2 Samuel 15, that's the context of this psalm, the king himself crosses over the brook Kidron. All of the people crossed over toward the way of the wilderness. And then there was Zadok also, and all the Levites with him bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. They set the Ark of God down. The Ark, we read, was with David. Now, earlier, Israel had tried to manipulate victory over the Philistines with the Ark. They said, if the Ark is among us, we'll have victory. David tried this sort of thing too himself. Here is the Ark. David has had his whole life come crashing down upon him. The Ark is the visible representation of the presence of God. In the midst of this conspiracy, David does something so crucial, and I believe it's the key to the psalm. This is what we read, 2 Samuel 15:25. Then the king said to Zadok, carry the Ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place. But if he says thus, I have no delight in you, here I am. Let him do to me as seems good to him. So in other words, he was really struggling with whether the favor of the Lord had departed from him. He says, take this ark and put it on his holy hill. If he wants to deliver me, he will. But if he doesn't, he will do whatever seems good. Do you see what David just did? He completely cast himself upon the mercies of the Lord. David was laying it before the Lord. And you know, this is the same sort of thrust we get in Psalm 51 when David wrote, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. I believe this would be the worst place to contemplate and think, maybe I'm abandoned by the Lord because of my circumstance. The circumstance right now I'm in sure seems to say it, especially when I suffer the consequences even of my own sin. How can God really love me? How is there blessing in this? You know, it's interesting in the psalm, and you'll notice this throughout the psalms, there are all these little selahs placed there. A lot of people wonder what that means, but remember what really is being said here. Selah means stop, reflect, ponder what is being said. Selah, stop. How was David to cope? How was he to move forward? What was he to do? Well, if this psalm was drafted after the flight, what it means is that the answer came to him in the midst of his struggle. And this is verses 3 through 6 of Psalm 3. If they become a confession of trust in the Lord. Here's what we read. But you, O Lord, are shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. Did you see what just happened? In the first two verses, what is his focus? Lord, how they, many are they, again, many are they say there's no help. This is overwhelming. He can't stop them. The circumstance is not only totally beyond him, but humanly speaking, there's no way back. There's no way to fix what has happened. All of Israel has banded against him. They're cursing him, and they've deceived his son who is now ruling in his place. David knows this is a consequence of his sin. And here's the most difficult way for us. It is to be broken of trying to hold on to what we can't. It is to let go of what we never had control of in the first place. That is the struggle of this. That which this present circumstance that I'm facing, here shown to us with David's circumstance, there is nothing in this life that I ultimately direct or control or that I can change in my own power. Because when I see the direction such a situation has gone, I'm frantic. When I even begin to think of it, we know this. There are certain circumstances like this that you can't even think upon the pain, think upon the problem without pain and disgust. And when you do, it's agonizing. Well, have you noticed the change here? But you, O Lord, my glory, the one who has lifted up my head, you, O Lord, have heard. You know, there was a time in my life when I lived this way, David thinks to himself. It is to turn the face away from what overwhelms you and turn to the one who holds heaven and earth in his hand, who holds all the nations before him as a drop in a bucket. You ever wonder how God's people could come to places like this? God is my refuge and my strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the mountains fall into the midst of the sea. How did people come to this kind of confidence? How did they survive? How did they make it? Psalm 77 has a sort of similar structure. The psalm begins with some tragic circumstance of life, and then the psalmist says, "My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. I'm so troubled I cannot speak." Notice the emphasis, I. It's like much of common worship today. It's all I-focused, and there's no power in that. There's only discouragement. The psalmist in Psalm 77 then says this, "This is my anguish," meaning he's looking at himself. "I will remember the works of the Lord. You are the God who have done wonders. You have declared your strength. You have with your arm redeemed your people. You, O Lord." That's what David does. I think of Psalm 116. In the midst of some intense sorrow and death of life, in death, the psalmist says, "I believe, therefore I spoke." See, this is how you do devotions. Just read the Psalms and pray these to your Lord. This is the answer. Confident trust and faith in the God who has always preserved you. Look and evaluate your life at what you know about him. The David says three things here. He has been a shield for me. He's always been a shield. He's lifted up my head. He lifts up my head now, and he hears when I call to him. Why does God care for sinners this much? David knows that the only basis that he can be confident is not his own life. His life's a failure. My life's a failure. Your life's a failure. You can't cut it before God to make it to heaven. The only basis for this confidence is Jesus Christ. That was the place where David turned. He looked upon Christ by faith, embraced the promise, and saw that God's face was truly shining upon him because of Christ, his Son. Is that true of you, dear friend?
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in his Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.